Every animal of the forest is mine, and the cows on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. I mean, wow, the cows on a thousand hills. You know, for a country boy, that kind of feels like me and God, we'd be mates. You know, the words of Psalm 50 kind of resonate. I imagine these rolling hills covered in fat cattle. It makes God the richest grazier I know, the richest I'll ever know. And this is poetry, remember. Asaph, he's the guy who wrote this, lived in a time when livestock was how people survived. That's how they lived. But maybe if he wrote that psalm today, the psalmist would say, God owns the stock of a thousand stock exchanges, or the houses of a thousand cities, or the diamonds of a thousand mines. And he'd be right. The truth is, when we pray, we ask God for stuff. We ask God, who has endless resources. When we pray, we ask the God who has it all. Now, prayer's a part of our Back to Basics series because it's fundamental to Christianity. It's something we need to think about and we need to get right. So today we're going to be thinking about how we should pray. And we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6. We'll see that prayer's God-centred and grace-oriented. It really is a gift that changes us. But let's first spend a few moments with Psalm 50. We read it earlier. And because I think it helps us unpick why we might get prayer wrong. You see, Psalm 50 isn't about getting rich. It's not about the cows, right? God's commanded Israel to bring sacrifices and burnt offerings to him, and we see there in verse 8, they're doing just that. They're ever before me, he says. The problem is, they've lost sight of why. Instead of being thankful, they think they're doing God some kind of favour. Sacrifices have become ritualistic. Devices for manipulating God to get them stuff. They want God to make them secure, but in reality, they're not that interested in him. They're interested in themselves. They're ungrateful. They're really happy to get the promised land, but they've forgotten God. There in verse 22. They actually want the kingdom without the king. Now I wonder if our prayers are like that, like Israel's sacrifices sometimes. Do we just want the goodies? You know, when you pray, does it sound like a list of things to make you more comfortable? Do you pray because you're scared that God might be angry and take stuff away if you don't? Or maybe we even try and manipulate God into doing what we would like him to do. Friends, when we make prayer about ourselves, it's a sure way to get it wrong. You see, the focus of prayer isn't about ourselves. Prayer's about God, who has everything, welcoming people who have nothing. It's not about us changing God's mind. Prayer's the way we come to God to be shaped by him. Prayer's God-centred. And we see this as we turn over to Matthew 6. Jesus invites people into a God-glorifying pattern of prayer. God-centred prayer. You'll see a heading there in your notes if you want to write it down. The first thing you'll notice about prayer is it's normal. We're meant to pray. Jesus invites us to pray. Actually, he just assumes people will pray. Look there at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He doesn't say, if you pray. He says, and when you pray. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. You see, prayer's normal for the Jews. They'd stop what they were doing at times through the day, face the temple and pray. What Jesus is doing is he's condemning the practice of making it a circus, making it a public spectacle. Prayer's not meant to be a spectator sport. It was never meant to be about showing off to others. It's not about looking good or smart or spiritual or anything else. Close the door and pray to your Father, Jesus says. Forget what everyone else thinks about you. Talk to him, the Father. That means your attention. My attention is on him when we pray. Prayer's God-centered. Certainly not about impressing people. And it's not about impressing God either. You see, there's no need to impress God with big words or a good story. Actually, the pagans were inclined to try that there in verse 7. They babbled, or perhaps a better word is stammer. They went on and on through these long procedural lists, hoping that God would do stuff, hoping to impress him so he'd do what they wanted. The reality is, God already knows. It says there, your Father knows what you need before you ask him in verse 8. When we try to impress God with our prayers, we miss the point. He's the one who has everything. He's the impressive one. Prayer is the way God, who has everything, who knows everything, invites unimpressive people like you and me to communicate with him. Now, I think it's worth mentioning here that closing the door doesn't mean we abandon praying together. It's just about not showing off by praying. Actually, you might notice there how verse 9 begins. Look at the pronouns there, the words you and our. This is how you should pray, or this is how you all should pray, to be more precise. Our Father in heaven, and so on. The whole of verses 9 to 13 have this corporate feel about them. Jesus uses plural pronouns all the way through. Friends, it's right for us to pray, all of us, together, privately, wherever and whenever. Christians are meant to pray, putting God at the centre of our prayers. Now, putting God at the centre of our prayers means his people desire that his name be hallowed. And this is more than just praising and honouring God, isn't it? His name to be hallowed, hallowed be your name, is an urgent yearning for the Father's full and final rule. For everyone to bow before the true King, our King. Instead of wanting the kingdom without the King, we're to seek the kingdom ruled by the King. Prayer requests the spread of God's word. This prayer requests the spread of God's rule, our Father's rule. Your kingdom come, it says, your will be done on earth as in heaven, verse 10. And making prayer about God's kingdom, about his reign, making God centred in our prayer, it's actually good for us. It's good for us because it changes how we think about what's important. When we're focused on God, we look forward to his reign. Instead of being focused on the worldly things, our hearts and minds are moved to long for things that are permanent, for God's peace. As we pray for God's rule, we begin to gain momentum towards living in the reality of our Father's superior heavenly rule. That means the worldly things that once excited us will lose their shine. They'll fade because they're simply not as good. When we pray for God's full and final rule, His Spirit changes our hearts in a way that makes salvation, God's gracious gift of life, even more special, even more precious. When we seek the spreading of His rule and His kingdom, we orient our lives toward His grace. And that brings us to the third point there in your outlines. Prayers grace-oriented. Prayers grace-oriented. You see, the way Jesus teaches us to pray doesn't seek to build empires. It's not about getting ahead or accumulating wealth. It isn't even concerned with how things are going to be tomorrow. Christian prayer is the way God's children are welcomed to ask for grace. Undeserved favour from our Father who is delighted to give. Our Father invites you to come and ask for what you need today and tomorrow, one day at a time, trusting Him for your next feed, your home, your job, everything you need. Where to pray? Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Actually, the words daily bread remind us, don't they, of the manna in the wilderness. Israel was wandering around waiting to enter the promised land, and God fed them each and every day. He graciously provided daily manna. In fact, God forbid them to hoard up supplies, didn't He? They were to turn themselves to God and trust His gracious provision for daily sustenance until they entered the promised land. Likewise, brothers and sisters, when we pray, we're not trying to fill up the store. We're not trying to get into a place where we don't have to rely on God. We're meant to depend on Him. Now, don't hear me wrong. It doesn't mean we're irresponsible about caring for ourselves. But prayer has a posture that doesn't try to build self-sufficiency apart from God. It relies on His gracious provision every day, one day at a time. As we wait for the promised new heavens and new earth, Jesus teaches us to humbly rely on Him, turning ourselves towards His gracious provision. Prayers grace-oriented. And this grace orientation isn't just about what we need. Prayer's grace orientated because it humbly recognises our debts. We're up to verse 12 if you're following along in your Bibles. You see, prayer's grace orientated because it cries out for God to graciously forgive our sin. You know, we know, don't we? We keep messing stuff up. Jesus invites you to rely daily upon His grace. The Lord's Prayer doesn't boast about us forgiving people either. As we've forgiven our debtors, implies a Christian is asking God to extend His forgiveness to others through us. Prayer longs for others to experience grace and for God to use us as instruments of that grace. Genuine prayer weeps at the prospect of our non-Christian friends and neighbours facing judgment. Genuine prayer desires that they will experience God's grace. When we pray for that, the strange thing is that God will often use us as the instruments to show His grace. Finally, prayer's grace-orientated because it recognises our vulnerability to sin and the need for us to have God deliver us and make us holy. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, there in verse 13. God's not playing a cruel game where he leads us up to the brink of sin just to see if we fail. Jesus is asking God to do as he promises, to act consistently with his holiness and lead us away from evil and the desires of the sinful flesh. Grace-oriented prayer asks God for his grace to sanctify us and protect us from the perils of the devil, the one who tries to trick us by making sin look beautiful. Friends, God-centered, grace-oriented prayer makes sense because it's like the gospel. Our salvation centers around God's action. We have nothing to offer, so Christ offered himself so that we are justified before God. Our Father extends grace to us by restoring us through Jesus. We're invited in prayer to ask for the fulfillment of this. Why wouldn't we pray like this? Because being a child of God, depending on him, being in his kingdom is the best thing you could ever hope for or imagine. God-centered, grace-oriented prayer is a far cry from people behaving like brats, demanding the kingdom without the king. Prayer's the gift that changes us. Well, we're nearly there. We're up to our last heading. God-centered and grace-oriented prayer, the gift that changes us. What Israel needed to remember was that sacrifices weren't meant to change God, but instead to bring them to God who has everything. What we need to remember is that prayer doesn't change God. It's a gracious gift from him who has everything. It's a gift that changes us. He invites us to speak to him. Our heavenly Father invites us to speak to him, to plead for the things that are truly good for us. His kingdom, his peace. So, brothers and sisters, if our heavenly Father invites us to speak to him, why on earth would it be okay for us to ignore him? Now, I wonder, do we ignore him? Are you ignoring his invitation to communicate with him? Friends, why? Well, maybe you feel like your prayers aren't good enough. They're not fluid enough. You don't have the right words to say. Well, hear this today. True prayer, God-centered, grace-oriented prayer changes the way we approach God. It isn't a performance. You're talking to the God who knows everything about you because he made you. He knows what you need. It's okay for you to go to him and just chat. Use normal words. You can be you. Because he made you you. Why would he want anything else? Maybe you've given up talking to God. You wonder if he could be bothered with you. Your prayers don't seem to get answered. It just seems pointless. Well, can I suggest that maybe you've been asking for the kingdom without the king? Hear this today. Everything you have is God's. He's given it to you. That makes you more precious to him than anything else. When we realize who God is and what he's done, it changes what we pray for. It makes sense for us to pray for his rule and his kingdom because it's good for you. When we get that prayer is the way our Heavenly Father has invited us to speak to him, we're changed. We make it a priority. You know, practically speaking, that might mean it's the first thing we do every day. We might get rid of distractions like the mobile phone and Facebook so that we can pay attention to him. We might adopt a take five attitude to prayer. You know, for those of you who are busy mums and dads, take 5 minutes. Okay, maybe 5 seconds is more realistic. Talk to God through the day. Seek his kingdom, his rule, his provision and his forgiveness wherever and whenever you get a chance. That's legitimate prayer. When we understand prayer is communicating with God, we're changed, so we listen. You know, communication's two ways. That means we use God's word, the Bible. We listen to what the Bible says. We don't just skim over it, but we consider it carefully. Consider what God's saying to us. Now think about your relationships. You're chatting with your mates. They tell you about something that's important to them. And then you just change the subject and talk about yourself. You don't do that, do you? Of course not. You'd end up with no mates, wouldn't you? You listen and you respond. Why wouldn't we do that with God? Our prayer ought to respond to God's word, showing that we understand it. Praise him for the glory he reveals when he speaks. Ask for help when we don't understand his word. Ask for forgiveness when we mess it all up. When you and I understand that prayer is God-centered and grace-orientated, it changes what we pray for too. We ask for kingdom stuff. That means we'll pray for gospel ministry. I wonder, do you pray for kingdom growth? Growth through chaplaincy, through Bible college, mission, our pastor, through each other. You know, each of you have got a ministry. We should be praying for each other's ministries. Do we pray that the kingdom will come in your life and in the life of others? Do we pray for sanctification? God-centered, grace-orientated prayer makes us thankful as well, because it recognises he's the one who has everything. I wonder if we give thanks when we see God's gracious provision for our lunch even, or at least remember to thank him that he's provided even though we didn't notice. There's a lot of I didn't notice provision going on in my household at times. What about when we deal with suffering? Now, I know this is real for lots of you here today. Friends, God-centered, grace-oriented prayer doesn't mean we can't ask God for healing or a better situation or a better job or a better whatever. Actually, God-centered, grace-oriented prayer means we should ask, because asking means we're relying on God for his grace to provide for us in a world that is broken. When we ask God in suffering, it means we're relying not on our strength, but we're relying on him. Friends, that's what we should be doing. That's what God invites us to do. He invites us to rely on the one who has everything and can provide. He doesn't want us relying on ourselves who can't provide. It's an invitation to come. It's an opportunity to trust him to provide. Friends, our prayer should remind us of the gospel. We come to God with nothing to offer, at the end of ourselves, and take God's promise to care for us seriously. Prayer is never self-centered empire building. Rather, it's an invitation for us to come to God who is ready to forgive us and speak to him. We can ask him for stuff, but the heart of prayer is humility before our Father in heaven, continuously depending on his gracious provision. Grace that he invites us to ask for, grace he promises to give. Grace he invites us to ask for, grace he promises to give. Psalm 50 might remind us about the cows on a thousand hills. It does remind us that we come to an awesome God who owns everything. Our God who can give anything we ask or imagine. But prayer does not look anything like a brat demanding God's treasures. It doesn't want the kingdom without the king. Prayer has its focus on God and seeks his grace with thankfulness. Prayer is our Father's gift to us. Let's close together by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Word's going to come up. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.